It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, final hour, 9:05. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo, coming to you from the Built Ford Tub Studio. The guys will be back next Tuesday. We got on this topic of just crazy events surrounding sports because of what we saw last night at the U.S. Open with Daniil Medvedev and Benjamin Bonzi, and this has kind of taken on a life of its own. I literally just opened Twitter for the first time. I cannot believe the amount of people that have hit me up with different things.
Well, topics like these are good because I think people, and we talked a little bit about it behind the curtain, it's good because people can always tap back into what they were doing, how old they were, and what happened when they watched that one iconic moment. So it's a good kind of it's a refresher.
It is. And the one that, for me, out of the five I gave you that I remember where I was the earthquake during the World Series.
Yep.
That one, I remember being in the kitchen listening to the radio. I hadn't gotten to the TV yet. And it was like, what is happening? And then you run to the TV and you see what's going on and the picture's gone and it's just a phone feed and it was just... I was nuts. I think, was that, Eddie would remember, was that Al Michaels doing that on TV?
Yes. And I was actually in the WFAN newsroom as an intern.
Real? No kidding.
In the fall of 89.
Yeah.
Look at that. Gary Cohen was sort of doing a pre and post around the national broadcast.
No kidding.
And so we lost the feed, obviously, he had to come on and say, this is Gary Cohen in the WFAN newsroom.
Yeah.
Pretty, used to be a flashback.
Pretty incredible. It's exactly, yeah. All right, we used to do this at the end of every hour, which was kind of cool. Dan in Staten Island. What's up, Dan?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Good morning. I don't know if you remember this. 1972, the A's versus the Tigers, where Campy Campaneras was 3-for-3 with 2 stolen bases, and Leron LeGrew with the Detroit... pitcher, he threw at Campaneras' ankle, hit him. Campaneras got up and helicoptered his bat, and it went right over the head of LeGrew.
Wow! And there's another one with another bat incident.
Billy Martin was Detroit's manager. He came running out, and it was a big melee on the field.
Wow!
I remember.
It's amazing as you open this up to the calls, the ones that you've never heard of before.
Some of these I've never even...
I mean, again, when Gelb sent me the Juan Marichal one, I'm embarrassed. I don't know of that incident. And as he points out, too, pretty sure they weren't wearing batting helmets yet. So he's hitting the guy over the head with a bat with no batting helmet. It's
pretty much assault.
Yes. Yes. We talk about that in hockey. Like, you know, where's the line between assault, physical assault, and it's...
Well, in terms of hockey, I don't think there is a line.
Right. Well, exactly. In that case, you're right. You're using it's like a weapon.
Yeah.
I mean, holy God. I mean, the stick is too, I suppose, of course, but...
It's all a weapon. Yeah. Skate, stick, fist.
That is true. John in Stony Point. Good morning, John. How you doing?
Hey, boys. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
I got two. One when Randy Johnson hit the bird that he was pitching in Toronto.
Yeah, not funny, but yes, I know what you're referencing. Yep.
Yeah, I think...
He hit a bird. Not funny. And you see the video, the bird explodes.
Yeah, but it's different if a baby walks across the plate. That's not funny. We're talking about a bird.
Yeah.
Birds get hit all the time.
Not by pitches in Major League Baseball games.
Yeah, but it, for me, it's different if like somebody was aimlessly drunk and walks across the field and Randy hit him. But if you hit a bird, I'm like, all right, the bird had it coming.
I didn't say it's one of life's biggest tragedies. I just said the bird got exploded.
There's no fly zones for a reason. Somebody should have let the bird know. When Randy's on the mound, stay away.
Fair enough. That's my point. What's the other one?
And the other one with when Buddy Ryan went after Kevin Gilbride on the side of the Oilers.
Yes, of course.
Sideline. Yeah, to two coordinators.
That's another. That is absolutely a good one as well. And that was against, I believe, wasn't that against the Jets? And Boomer was in that game?
I don't remember that.
Oh, wow. Wasn't that? It wasn't. Maybe I'm making that up.
Sounds like it.
I feel like Boomer had something to do with that game. Could be wrong. Could be right.
50-50.
I think Boomer was a part of it. He wasn't a part of it.
Yeah, 93 against the Jets.
Yeah, right, exactly. I know he's told that story and what a crazy scene that was. Todd and Edison, what's up, Todd?
Yeah, that was actually a Sunday night game, and we had to win that game to get in the playoffs, that game against the Oilers.
That was a Sunday night game. Interesting.
Yeah. How about the Jets' Monday night game, Art Shell's first game, that got alcohol banned from the Meadowlands at night for like 5 years?
I don't know this.
I was at the game. We're playing the Raiders. We're getting killed, of course. And they were giving away painter's caps, and they started lighting them on fire in the upper deck. Seats caught fire. Also during the game, there was a big pumpkin blow-up doll because it was either Mischief Night or Halloween Night. And it was annoying the fans because it was huge. It was five people wide, and it went onto the field. So they took it under the tunnel. And about 10 minutes later, after chanting, all the drunk fans, security guy brings the pumpkin back out to a raucous ovation. Find out the next day he got fired. And because of just the commotion, we're getting killed, the fires, the pumpkin. It was on national TV. I don't know how many years it was for, but night games at the Meadowlands. No alcohol for 3-4 years. Wow. That was right when I was turning 21. That's why I remember.
That's awesome. That's a good one.
And I was on the sidelines for that. I was doing parabolics.
So you remember, Eddie?
I don't remember the pumpkin thing. I do remember the crowd was ugly. That I remember.
And you remember the ban on the alcohol?
After that, yes.
Wow. How about that? That's kind of NFL talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus. All season long, visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. It's amazing to me how many of these stories that don't hit with me. Some do, for sure.
Yeah.
Obviously, the one with Gilbride and I remembered Boomer and the Jets and all that. That one I don't remember, and I don't ever remember alcohol being banned. But then again, I didn't go to Giant or Jet. Like,
it was fourth quarter only. Like,
oh, that's when. Well, it wasn't. You could still get a beer.
Correct, but they cut it. They had a right.
Well, now they cut it. I thought at halftime. No, or maybe third.
Yeah, now it's halftime. They cut the alcohol.
Or maybe the first break in the third quarter, something like that.
I thought it was a halftime because you can. The fan engagement as a Jet fan, it lowers. Once they start sobering up, they're just like, all right, let's start heading to the parking lot. Like,
well, especially the way they played the last
first half. Right, with the first half, Jets fans are like, Jet, Jets. Second half, just like, where's my car?
Get me out of here.
Get me out of here now. So
it's very true. You're not wrong. John in Bridgeport. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I remember back in 1978. There was a play at third base. It was late in the season. The Yanks were in a pennant race with the Red Sox. And the umpire made a controversial close call. I don't know if he was right or wrong. But a fan came out of the stands and attacked the umpire. Oh. And I remember at the time, he was only a couple of towns away from me. I think the guy was from Ansonia, Connecticut. But that was pretty wild. And just to get back, we were talking about Marichal and Roseboro before.
Yeah. Yep.
They were chirping. I remember it. I'm a little older, too. I think it was in 65.
Yeah.
And they were chirping a little bit. And right before Marichal went after Roseboro, when Roseboro threw the ball back to Koufax, he kind of buzzed Marichal's head. He almost hit him, and he kind of did it intentionally. And I think that's what really got it started.
It sparked it. That's very good. Yeah. Thanks for checking in. That is pretty good. I know that the fans going after the umpires. Amazing you don't see more of that now. You know, the umpires, the referees, I mean, because we have certainly had our share of issues with the umpires and refs in these games.
Bring out the robots.
Yeah, well, soon enough, I do think that is coming. Forrest and Chatham, what's up, Forrest?
Yes, hi. So, when I was a senior in high school in 1977, I remember watching the Lakers play the Rockets, and this was the infamous Kermit Washington attacking Rudy Tomjanovich.
Yep. That's a good one.
I mean, that was a crazy one. There was another one that was shot down by your editor, but I thought was pretty good, which was the 76 ALCS championship when Chambliss hits the walk-off home run and the stand's empty and he can't round the bases. They have to usher him off into the clubhouse until they clear the field so he can come back out and circle the bases and step on home plate.
That one's not as chaotic or crazy, but that's cool. I mean, that's certainly a different moment. I wasn't familiar with them having to go back out there and do that. But yeah, the Rudy Tomjanovich, that's a very good one too. We should have. There's so many of them. I mean, I gave you five that came to my mind so quickly. There's so many you missed. Johnny in River's Edge. What's up, Johnny?
Yeah, hi. I'm surprised that nobody's mentioned Morgana, the kissing bandit.
Well, because I think that was a thing. Like, I don't know that was anything crazy. Like, that was on This Week in Baseball every week. Remember her? She was the blonde with the lipstick, the big breasts. And she would run onto the field and she would give a kiss. Right? I mean,
was that a thing? It was like a gimmick?
Yeah, that was like for a couple of years, she was a thing. Okay.
100% that was a thing. Yes, and you would see it on This Week in Baseball every weekend.
And I think a few times, do you remember the short-lived Monday Night Baseball?
Yes, I do.
It happened on that a few times.
Yes, I don't think that's anything, there was nothing wrong with that. That was just something that was, I don't want to say fun, but I feel it was staged almost.
It's okay, if it's fun.
Well, I mean, she would go right out to the mound, and she would kiss the pitcher.
And they run back out.
Yeah, and they run back out.
And they stopped that, obviously.
Well, yeah, I mean, she also aged out, I think. We're talking.
Can you age out of kissing?
I think that was like the 70s and 80s. I don't think that spilled into the 90s.
You're right.
I don't remember the last time.
Damn sure can't do it now. That's
new. I do not think you can do it now. Maybe you should go throw the first pitch. That would be about it.
Right.
Nick and Socrates, what's up, Nick?
Hey, what's up? I was thinking about when Joe Horn pulled his cell phone out of the.
That's more stupid. You had who was the with Terrell Owens with the Sharpie?
Yeah, Ocho Cinco had the Hall of Fame blazer after a touchdown. Right. That was more
goofy.
Yeah,
think about what happened last night, and I mean that match was paused for 6 minutes, and you had a player literally questioning the chair umpire, "Are you a man?"
Yeah,
he said it over and over. Then looks
calling out his manhood.
He did. And then when he said, as he's looking into the camera, when he says, this guy doesn't want to work.
Mm.
Like, he just wants to go home. Like, that's some scene.
It would have been awesome for that guy to get down a chair and just give him a five-finger sandwich.
And he wasn't going to do that. And as CBS Sports Network runs the footage again, it's amazing how it all starts with the camera guy who, again, I only saw one story on this, so I don't know if there's been an update since we've been sitting here. The one story I saw was that the cameraman just thought the match was over and was trying to get onto the court to get the photos. That's how this whole thing started, which was so, like, nothing.
And what's wild about it, too, like, I don't know if you, did you say his credentials got
I had seen revoked? I don't know if that was official. I had seen on social media that he got his credential revoked. I don't
but
know
it was
that.
An accident.
I understand, but he
wasn't
also
like he ran out of court and slammed his camera. Something he didn't.
You could make the case either way.
Okay,
that it was unprofessional, and he's got to have his head in the game. You can't just walk onto the court. This is U.S. Open. This isn't the Bridgehampton, Invitational. It's a big deal.
But if a guy, if a spotter in golf happens to touch the ball for whatever reason, right? Is he banned? You know what I mean?
Because I don't think so.
Right. So my point is that sometimes human error happens.
I agree. So I agree with you that either way it could go. I could see them giving him another chance.
Yes, I understand you agree with me. I'm just saying, I just hate that if he did get his credentials pulled, at some point you got to give a guy some grace.
It's also a sport that they have, sprinting to get the ball in a timely manner so that the player can hit and not be distracted.
I get it.
I mean, the whole thing is kind of bizarre.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Ryan Hurley checking in. He brought up one that...
Pearls?
I know I'm one of the dumber guys around, but I don't remember any of these. He brought up Riddick Bowe, Andrew Galata at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like I Googled it and saw the video.
Yes.
And it's like a riot at MSG.
That's the first one as a kid. You saw a real chair. Like, of course, if you're a wrestling fan, you're used to seeing chairs in the ring and around the ring. Boxing, people were throwing chairs in rows of chairs at each other. It got...
Dangerous.
Crazy.
Dangerous.
The first time I watched it, where the police was running out the building, it got so crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
It was wild.
I believe it.
Yeah, I remember
speaking of
it.
Wild, since you're the cruise guy around here, you saw the Carnival Cruise chicken tender fight?
Yeah, you know what, Jerry? we try not to bring up bad times.
Chicken tender fight?
You didn't see this?
No.
It was a brawl.
Like, as a one of the minorities here at the fan, it set us back.
Why?
It was not.
That wasn't race related.
Well, I'm not going to get into. If this was a different show, I would get into this. I would get into. I love how CeeLo's like, he's going to get out of this one. My point is, it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing.
Oh, no, I agree
to
with
see
that. But it was everybody 20
on
involved.
No, it was us here. It was like 10 on 10 of us on us.
Okay.
My point is, we were fighting over chicken, and it was set us back.
Okay, so they were fighting over chicken, not with the tender. They weren't, hurling tenders at each other.
Oh, everything was getting thrown.
Yeah?
Everything.
Were they slapping with tenders? Like,
they might
across
have been.
The face?
Bro, it got down. Like, what's crazy, it led up to the rooms.
Oh, I believe
There's a clip of the security, this girl's banging on the door trying to pull whoever out, and the girl's like throwing security out the way. It got crazy.
So you mentioned security in the beginning of the video. I saw people are killing each other,
and the woman's like,
"Where is security?" And then if you look at the bottom right,
they're at the bottom.
He's just there, like, "All right, get involved in this."
Well, one security guard actually got in, but he can't get up. And the two other securities are trying to pull him out, but they're getting mollywopped too. It's crazy.
Yeah, chaotic. That's the word for the day. It was not good.
I
thought of you immediately.
Oh, yeah. For some reason, ever since we've had that episode on this show, I get stopped from time to time and get updated on Carnival cruises.
And that's the best part.
I've never been on one.
The best part is it was Carnival.
I was just mad that they canceled the song. Yeah, it was Carnival cruises.
It wasn't Royal Caribbean.
Nothing.
It wasn't Virgin. It was Carnival.
Carnival cruise.
It's so funny. Anyway.
See, though, when you see it, it's like... It's crazy. It's like the Malice of the Palace. It's just on water.
Chicken tender brawl.
Yeah.
All right.
How about that? How about that? Exactly. All right, Chris.
I got one more to add. I mean, this got off the rails.
Why not?
And I'll give thanks to Greg and Max with CBS Sports Network for this one. They alerted me to one that I'd either forgotten or legit never even saw. So this is Royals White Sox in Chicago, September 2002. And I'll allow ESPN's Linda Cohn to recap the scene. This was on SportsCenter back in the... Oh, did you guys do this already?
I'm talking to them. You're good. No, I think a caller might have brought this up, but I wasn't aware of it.
I don't remember.
The first base coach?
Yes.
He did. I
wasn't aware of it either.
Talking about the father and son that beat up the...
Yeah,
we just broke
all right, well, here's some audio of it for you, all right?
Mike Porzio will make the diving catch. All of a sudden, the frightening scene at first base. The Royals bench charging the field. There is a pile up.
A couple of guys come out of the stands.
Two spectators jumped out of the stands attacking first base coach Tom Gamboa. The spectators, a father and son, started to throw punches at Gamboa. The umpire, Matt Hallowell, and White Sox second baseman Willie Harris appear stunned and frozen.
That was the scary part. The ump and the White Sox, they like didn't jump in to help at first because I don't know if they realized what the hell was going on. And the Royals bench comes tearing out.
They're the security guards.
Yeah. Yeah, so this was pretty crazy. Wow. Here was part of Gamboa's react to game.
I was just shocked because it came from behind. And to tell you the truth, I didn't have any clue what had happened. I just felt like I had gotten blindsided from behind. I had no idea by who because I knew we weren't having a problem with the other team.
So he goes into, self-defense in the moment. Yeah. And obviously, you're reacting on the fly.
I tried to kick one guy to keep him abreast, and then the other guy kind of smoked me on the side here. I heard one of the guys say one of them has a knife. And then I was stunned, so I was checking to see if I'd been stabbed and just didn't realize it.
Thankfully, he wasn't. Jeez. So, yeah, I got a knife, and there was broken glass that they recovered out on the field. But kind of reminiscent of another incident you guys already brought up, very infamous one, which Gamboa references here.
Like I was telling some of the guys in here, ironically, I was watching the tennis tournament that year that Monica Seles got stabbed by a guy come out of the stands. And to tell you the truth, I was just so grateful that I didn't get stabbed because when somebody comes at you from behind, there's nothing you can do.
That's pretty wild. He mentioned getting whacked on the side of the head there.
Yeah.
And, you hear him, this is right after the game, he's speaking and he sounds, very, everything's all good. But
there had to have been some dialogue.
Permanently lost hearing in his right ear as a result of that impact. Yeah. Wow. So I don't know if that was like a delayed effect situation.
Yeah.
Father and son who claim that I guess Gamboa had flipped them off earlier in the game. Who knows if that's true or not.
Even if it is.
Right. Exactly. You don't come. I'm not over it.
They got dogpiled by like 25 guys.
And they should.
The whole Royals team.
And they should.
Yeah. Rightfully so. So wow. that's a pretty wild one. So just adding that to the pile.
It's interesting opening up to the phones like we did, which I never thought we would get this many stories.
Yeah.
There are some
wild
whacked
stuff out there.
People
Long
that have done some crazy things. Yes.
Sure.
It is something.
I'm forgetting now. I thought of one out.
Well, even think about something as, and this is not professional sports. Maybe you saw the video, maybe you didn't. The former hockey player on the golf course.
Oh, yeah, that was recent.
They beat the living crap out of the guy.
That was a month ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, about a month or two.
That guy had it coming. He tried to warn the guy.
I'm not saying he did or he didn't.
I'm just saying,
he kept going at him, too.
Right, but that's my point. Like, sometimes if you poke the bear and the bear bites you, don't blame the bear. You know what I mean? Like,
I agree.
I think more people in society should get punched in the face. I'm an advocate. I'm a fan. Like, sometimes, I think as a man, if you've never been punched in the face and you have a big mouth, like
you got it coming.
You got it coming, right? Mm-hmm. I've been punched in the face, so that's why as big as I am, and I know I can fight. Like I'm still careful with how I speak to people, because I know what it feels like to get punched in the face. And I feel like if you've never been punched in the face, you feel more freely to express yourself.
That is true.
So, but if you have, you know, like, yeah, I'm going to step back. I'm not going to say what I really want to say because you know what a punch in the face feels.
Jerry, ever been in a fist fight?
A fist fight, not really, but I did do boxing and kickboxing.
No, I also got concussed.
That's still something.
Yes, but you're going in knowing that that's going to happen.
Oh, for sure.
Not just like a fight breaks out in anger.
But at least I felt, I know what it feels like to get
hit.
Sure.
And I was dazed for 3 days after one specific kickboxing match where I got my ass kicked.
Which the common denominator is you're careful how you talk to other men.
Oh, 100%.
Despite whatever size they are, right? I feel like many people, because of social media, we're just flippantly say things without understanding the consequences.
You're right about that.
Like, I bounced in college. So I've been snuck. I've been punched. I've been all that. Kicked into all that.
What was the word? Mollywop.
Yeah, I know what that feels like. So even when I'm engaging with people who I feel like I can take, I'm still cautious because I know the consequence of it. Too many people walk around here just freely expressing themselves. They've never been punched in the face.
And you don't know who you're talking to.
100%.
You don't know. They could be 5'4", but they could be a...
an absolute mop you up.
Yeah, right over there?
Yeah, I'm coughing.
By the way, we got his spittle all over.
That's not true. I covered and I turned away.
Oh, yeah, because that covers everything.
Sound like Al now. Come on.
You're 3 feet from me.
But I covered and turned away.
We got a contagion monkey in here. Right?
And this, you know, I take this with me. I'm not leaving the mic condom for somebody else, you know. I just noticed something about Willie, by the way.
What's that?
And this is not, you know, I'm not up here on my high horse because people have pointed this out with me with a certain word that I pronounce. Where did you say careful for us?
Careful.
Okay. It was like, it sounded like catful a couple times.
I'm pretty sure I've said it.
Yeah. The word bother. People don't like the way I say bother.
The way you say it?
Yeah.
Do people tweet that at you?
No, just friends in my life have called me out on before.
It's time for new friends.
I'll have to listen
new
more.
Friends. Wow. Okay. Well, I don't know if that's a word that, you know, comes up on the air as much, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah. I might not. I'll listen for it. And I'll listen for careful.
I know. I struggle with breakfast. I say breakfast.
That's okay. Anthony Gallo. You know Anthony Gallo here?
I feel like I've heard the name.
He tries to say the word depth.
Yeah.
He says death.
Death.
Oh.
Yeah.
Get a list?
Yeah, it's like the one word that
he just can't get the word out.
Yeah. And he uses it a lot talking sports, you know, like depth chart, depth of the rotation.
Well, some things you stay away from.
Well, that's why we were trying to encourage him to maybe find a way around that.
Got you.
Think a different word.
He called one guy a death player.
Oh, boy.
Funny.
All right, a little bit on the baseball locals from Sunday. The Yankees bouncing back after a rough first three games against Boston where they scored 4 runs total. They had the home run bats going last night, though.
2-1. Pitch to Jeff. Swing on deep drive. Right field. It's hit hard. Going. Goodbye. Jess Chisholm, everybody, with a home run tonight. His second 2-run shot.
Dave Sims, 8th inning call here on The Fan as Jazz had career home runs number 100 and 101 last night. Trent Grisham also went deep twice, giving him 25 on the years. The Yanks beat the Red Sox 7-2 to avoid a 4-game sweep at the stadium, which would have been the first for Boston in the Bronx since 1939. The 4-game variety, not any sweep. Meaningful night for Chisholm. He has the 2 home runs, and as he revealed afterwards, playing with a bit of a heavy heart.
It felt kind of surreal. You know, I lost my best friend yesterday. Today felt like a different type of day, especially with the 100th home run coming today and everything, you know.
Didn't get any details on the situation.
You know what's interesting about that, though?
Yeah,
you know, I was talking about him yesterday. Now, he didn't get the start in Saturday's game. No idea that he was going through that. None of us did. And I'm sitting there talking about what I thought was a very non-competitive at-bat when they put him in with 2 guys on, down 5. I think they were down 5-1 at the time. And like, I'm sitting, like, that's just a brutal at-bat.
Yeah.
We have no idea what these guys are dealing with. And then to hear that, you almost wonder, like, why he wasn't just told, hey, you're not getting an at-bat, just go clear your mind today. But now you see maybe why he wasn't in the lineup and why that at-bat looked so bad.
Yes. Anthony Volpe not in the lineup last night, at least at the start. He did get in late defensively as the Yankees are giving him a little bit of a mental rest, soft reset, as he's apparently not going to be in the lineup tonight either. He's been told he'll return on Tuesday. Yankees are opening a 3-game series with the Nationals this evening. You got Cam Schlittler and Brad Lord on the mound for the opener. Pre-game 6:25 here on The Fan and the free Odyssey app. Yanks are a half game up on Seattle for the third wild card spot and a half game back of Boston, though they are even in the loss column. Mention the Mariners, Cal Raleigh with home runs 48 and 49 in a victory over the A's as he sets the new single season record for home runs by a catcher. Down to Atlanta, chance for the Mets to sweep a three-game series from the Braves. They had an early 2-0 lead against Bryce Elder and his 6-plus ERA. They weren't able to add on, and eventually Atlanta would take the lead back.
0-1. Line towards center. Here comes Mullins down for a base hit and bounces by. Albies is in. Murphy right behind. Brujan goes to third. Two runs are in. Profar brings them both home, and it's 4-2 now, Atlanta in the eighth.
I don't know that I ever saw an overhead shot. If he fields that cleanly in center field, does that second run come in?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Not sure.
But, was it ruled an error?
I don't think so. Not that I saw.
Just a two-run single.
Pretty sure two-run single, yeah.
Because,
all the runs were earned for the Mets pitchers.
Like, that gets out there pretty quick.
Yeah, that's on them fast.
And two outs, obviously, running with contact.
For sure. Yeah. I'm just curious, because obviously the run turned out to be a big deal, as you pointed out. So.
Yep. Gregory Soto giving it up in that frame. Mets lose 4-3. They did get a Juan Soto RBI single in the ninth and had a couple of cracks at it with runners aboard, but Alonso and McNeil both popped up to end it. So another day, 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position, 10 left aboard, as they miss out on a chance to end the weekend on a high note. They
Alonso
do win
was
the series.
0-for-5 in the game, too.
Yeah, he's gone cold again.
Sure.
So
has.
Maybe September he can ramp it back up. They could certainly use that. You know, Lindor has gotten hot with his hitting streak. Or did he? I didn't look. Did he have a hit?
And even Soto, that base hit you just referenced, I don't know if you saw it or not.
Yeah,
that's what, like, you've been waiting for, like swings
nice
like
line
that.
Drive ball off the plate, just kind of serve it out
absolutely.
There to the left.
And Lindor did, he had hits for sure,
so
because
12.
He was part of that ninth inning where they got two on.
12 games.
So it was like, 100% had hits yesterday.
Mets back home for 3 with the Phillies. You've got Kodai Senga, Christopher Sanchez tonight. That'll be a 7:10 first pitch Odyssey Mets Radio. Mets still game and a half up on the Reds, who dropped 2 out of 3 to Arizona over the weekend, but they did win on Sunday. Do I have time? Yeah,
you
quickly.
Got plenty
let's
of time.
Do, I want to do two more from that whole Daniil Medvedev situation at the U.S. Open last night. So we played the audio earlier of the ruling from the chair umpire about redoing the first serve with the photographer coming out onto the court of match point. So he did end up coming back to win that set and then won the next set. Medvedev
six
did
love.
To, right. To, yeah. So you're thinking he's got all the momentum now.
Yes.
He got the crowd jacked up. It's back on his side. They go to the fifth set. He ends up losing. And then this was some of that as the broadcast was wrapping up and the Frenchman there is celebrating his victory. Medvedev's on the side. And he goes into racket destruction mode, which you'll hear in the background over the announcers here. Oh, that's not the right one. Hang on. That was him yelling about the chair.
Seemingly settling in at the end. The rackets are going now. It's carnage out there.
Ugly scenes.
He needs to be careful here.
It even sounds like sometimes in the baseball game, like with like two strikes, so they get the they start the clap.
Sound like the Astros hitting the
getting,
trash cans.
Yeah, and it continues.
Bonzi got him at Wimbledon.
This is too much now. He'd do well to just get himself off the court.
Yeah, that's
like
pretty
losing
much
losing his mind in real time.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
All right.
I like passion.
Oh, there's
I
passion.
Want you to be upset.
Yeah. A lot of passion.
I'm okay with it.
He's now, I think it's more so the way this year has gone for him, and he's had a couple of like other meltdowns that people are a little concerned about the anger.
It.
But in this particular instance, I kind of get what you're
by
saying.
By the way, you want to feel old? And we
not
all,
really.
We not, all
yeah, no.
I don't want to feel
well,
old.
You're going to.
All right.
We all know this, but to see it like in print. So Venus Williams, she got a wild card into this event.
Okay.
The headline. 45-year-old Venus Williams. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, I knew she wasn't 30 anymore.
What was the point of the age, though? Why would throw the age out there?
I think pointing out that she's still playing in the U.S. Open, even though it's a wild card.
I just saw the headline.
45.
Like, oh, my
God. Seems like a,
she's 45.
Seems like a dig instead of like.
No, I think
saying,
it's a compliment, actually.
I would say so, too. The fact that she's
well,
still
women are so like weird about their age. So, you know what I mean?
Like, this isn't really where I was going. I just thought
that's
it meant.
That's a little different than, hey.
But that's how I perceived
like,
it.
How old
Venus
are you?
Williams is 45.
Yeah.
What the hell? 45 old woman. Still doing it.
And Serena, by the way, just because we mentioned Venus, is on one of the weight loss drugs, too.
Yeah, have you seen the picture
looks
of her?
Great.
She's gotten, like, real, real thin.
Looks good.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How about that?
How about that?
Okay.
That's the end of the story. The end, as I would say.
Exactly.
I may have to buy a couple of needles in bulk.
Right.
All right, let's get to moment of the day. As Jerry revealed, he's gotten rid of the, chipmunk? Not chipmunk.
Groundhog.
Groundhog, thank you. But you got bats now, which is unfortunate. And a caller checked in to say, and you agreed or confirmed how there's a very small window where they can, I guess, legally be removed or
nonsense.
By outside. Exactly.
You can always remove
and that was, don't tell that to Willie Colon.
There's only 2 months that they can do something about it. It's August to October because they're a protected species. So Steve is correct. If that was in May, ain't nothing you can do about it. But because I actually fall within the 2 months, they can come try and lure them out and then close up the area.
Right. It's like once their young have left and all that stuff, it's the not in the breeding period. I understand all that.
I'm going to tell you right now, Steve's saying. Don't care what season it is. Just to be very frank. They will just have to cut the parks and recreation people will just have to come for Willie Colon. The day I discover bats is going to be a problem. I don't give a damn where, what month, what holiday. I don't care, whatever. I'm handling the bats. I will be that guy.
Now, that I would pay to see.
Oh,
I would too. Against a swarm of bats trying to get them out of your house.
When I tell you,
I'd be like Ruben Sierra.
When I tell you, they came out like. In rapid fire,
I wouldn't be able to sleep. My wife wouldn't let me sleep. My kids would be terrified. There's only two options. I'm killing the bats. I'm setting the house on fire. Bottom line.
House on fire.
That's it.
Where the bats are going to carry you away down the street.
It's either me or the bats. One of us is not making
it. One's got to go.
But remember too, they're not in the house.
It doesn't matter. They're around.
They're on the property.
They're always going to be around. Like even Eddie said, they're always going to be around.
They have places to go. They have caves, right? There's things
they have caves. They have caves. Caves where?
Well, they're essentially using the portions of your home, the structure of your home, as a cave.
No, but he's saying they have caves.
My point is,
no, they don't.
Like, to send them away to their caves. Yeah,
whatever. They have somewhere to go. It just can't be in my house.
Someone else's house.
Yeah, sure.
Well, that's what I did with the groundhogs. Go find another house to go.
Yeah, go hit the Walmart 20 minutes
that's
from me.
That's fine.
Something.
By the way, CBS Sports Network, very creative as they have the bats running across the screen.
Yeah, I saw that a few times.
The entire
probably
time.
A Halloween function for them, but it works well today.
Yes. Oh, we're close to that, too. I see Halloween stuff in the stores.
It annoys me. Oh, yeah. It annoys me so much. I walked into CVS and they were pushing out like pumpkin shaped Reese's Pieces.
Oh,
like,
yeah, they love
how
that.
How are we here?
I'm surprised.
Football hasn't even like got going.
I got news here. You're going to go into Lowe's or Home Depot one of these days. You're going to see the Christmas stuff.
Yeah, I saw it.
Is it really?
Yeah, I saw it at Home Depot. As I was pushing my shopping cart, I took a swing at the scarecrow because I was just annoyed by it.
Well, that's the scarecrow. You swung at the scarecrow because of the Christmas decoration.
Yeah, because it's like they're pushing holidays so far in front of you. Like they're just. Forcing, I'm like, man, I'm still going to enjoy summer.
So you're taking out the Christmas anger on the Halloween mascot.
I punched the scarecrow right in his face and I kept walking.
There you go with the punching again.
He's a very physical man.
I mean, I wasn't a punter. Like,
that's very hand-to-hand combat you did.
Sure.
That's right.
That is true. All right, Chris, if you're not dead, we'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Feel better.
Yeah. It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
What is this song? Mike, what is this?
I wish I had a girl, Henry Lee Summer.
I wish I had a different song. Oh, my God. Okay, 9:53. We've got a few minutes left. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. Just one final call to wrap this up. This has been a much different morning than I envisioned,
it's
and
fun.
It's been fun.
It's been fun.
I'm not saying anything bad about it. I just didn't think we would get this far with it. Gene in Saratoga. What's up, Gene?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I'll make it quick.
Take your time.
1979 Jets season finale against New England at Shea. Mm. And they run a halftime show where they're going to have Snoopy and the Red Baron fight each other. They were essentially flying lawnmowers. And the Red Baron came down over the third base dugout and killed a man attending his first football game.
You
can still see the article. You could see the article in the New York Times. I sat about 30 rows above that, and all you saw was blood. It was a horrifying moment.
Holy, and that was halftime of the game, you said?
That was halftime of the game.
Did they play the second half?
They played the second half, yes. I mean, they were flying lawnmowers. And, you know, Shea Stadium in December, you can imagine how windy it was.
Yeah.
I just remember the Red Baron going up to the top of the stadium, basically, and then coming down. And it was a mad scene by that dugout.
Yeah, I would say
it's a Jets game.
Yeah, Jets fire.
It was a Jets game. Yeah, the Jets were 7-8, and they beat New England to finish this, you know, second season in a row, 8-8. Yeah,
unbelievable, Gene. Thanks for the thought. Wow, that's another one that I've never
heard before.
That is crazy. And then to finish the game, like I always think about that. Like you remember in Pittsburgh that poor guy that fell just a couple weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
like. The players see that, and they do even get emotional. Like, and then they got to go out and still finish and play. can't be easy. A scene he's describing, that I have
some at a Final Destination.
Yeah,
flying like what are we talking about?
I don't know.
That's nuts.
Now, this has nothing to do with what he was talking about. Yep. But I think the final game at Shea for the Jets. I know I was at it only because they, you know, allowed us to tear up the field, and I remember bringing grass home with me. Yeah, I brought grass from Shea Stadium home with me.
You took a seat home?
Not a seat. I took the grass. We went on the field, and people were ripping the turf up. The grass.
People weren't touching the chairs. It was just
no.
The
people took. People did take some chairs. They were taking a lot of stuff. That
I know that was a big thing when a ballpark pretty much closes. They start pulling the chairs.
But the ballpark didn't close. Okay. Mets still had to play there. I think this was the Jets' final game. Joe would know this, obviously. It was just 1980, maybe 81, something like that, before they moved into the Meadowlands, whatever year it was. But it was, I'm almost certain it was against the Steelers. I don't know.
It was December 10th, 1983.
It was 83. Oh, okay.
Against the Steelers, yeah.
Okay, it was actually a little later than I want. And I remember, and he's talking about a scene that is beyond crazy. That's sad and just awful.
Right.
But I remember I was nine. I remember almost being a little bit like, not frightened, but because it was
pandemonium.
It was nuts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The game ended and everybody was like on the field. Ripped the goalpost down. That I remember.
Oh, that's respectable. I got to ask a question. I mean, do you still have the grass?
Well, no, because if I remember correctly, again, I was nine. I'm pretty sure I went home and I tried to plant it. To grow. Now, I was a Met fan as a kid. So to me, I thought I could grow
Jerry Green Thumb over here.
Shea Stadium grass in my backyard for what was one of our fields for our summer wiffle ball league.
The community man here.
That is true.
Look at Jerry.
We used to draw like pictures of the logos and this of the teams.
Yeah,
and we put them on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
This was our home field. I had Shea Stadium grass.
When the Mets clinched against the Cubs in what was that 86?
Mm.
I ran on the field and got some sod. It survived in my parents' house.
See?
For 10 years.
So Eddie's got Shea Stadium grass too, or had it, I should
say.
Okay. See that? So you're mocking me.
I'm not mocking you.
I think you were mocking me.
It's just, I would have just like put it somewhere, like put it in my man cave. You're like,
it would die.
Yeah.
This way we planted it.
It's going to die regardless.
We gave it life. I played wiffle ball in Shea Stadium grass.
I'm just saying it's very thoughtful and it's sweet of you. That would have been my way.
And me and Eddie alike. Same thought process.